Welcome. Welcome to worship. Welcome to one and all. Welcome to the short and the tall, to the shy and the bold, to the young and the old. Welcome to the lost and the found, to the free and the bound. Welcome to saint and sinner, to loser and winner. Welcome to the fearful, the tearful, the cheerful, and the willful. Welcome to the timid and the tepid, to the sheepish and to the intrepid. Welcome to immigrant and indigent, to citizen and alien, to the adjudicated and you who ache to be renovated. Welcome to worship with Old South Church in Boston. Hear this, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here because God doesn't put anybody out. Amen. Take a look at us, at how Google Analytics sees us, sees you. Dispersed yet gathered, distant yet assembled, it is a beautiful sight. Amen. Please take a moment to sign the virtual friendship pad. You can find it in the chat feature. If you write enough, we will write you back. And here's what you need to know. Even from afar, even if you are sheltering in place, there are ways you can participate in our ministries and our mission. Just let us know. In fact, next Sunday, we have a special event just for our virtual newcomers, a coffee with the clergy after next Sunday's worship. Hope you can join us for that. All right now, God is good all the time. Let us worship our all the time good God. Will you pray with me? O living Christ, as the good news of Easter energized your first disciples, inspiring them to establish dynamic Christian communities, so energize us to dynamic life within your world today. As your Spirit gave them courage to stand tall before the powers of this world, so empower us to proclaim your gospel, to struggle for justice among all people, and to wage peace on your good earth. By your presence with us now, make us one in love and mission. In Christ's name we pray, and let the church say, Amen.
Morning. I am Pastor Amo and these are my friends. Today, I would like you to imagine with me. Imagine you are one of Jesus' disciples, you and your friends. And for 40 days after Easter, you spend time with the resurrected Jesus. And so you go around with him, talking to people, healing people, helping people, and doing big things. And Jesus is helping you understand what happened on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And then on the 40th day, you and your friends are sitting casually having a picnic with Jesus and having one of your normal conversations with him. And then in this conversation, Jesus says that he's leaving. And so now you're a bit worried. And also you thought he was gone on Good Friday, but then he got raised on Easter Sunday. And so you don't like this idea of Jesus leaving again. And so you and your friends are worried. Show me a worried face. But then Jesus tells you that he will not leave you alone. He will leave you with the Holy Spirit who will help you just like he did. And so the disciples were relieved. They were relieved that they would have someone who will support them and guide them just like Jesus did. Whew! What a relief. Just after he tells you the story, he starts ascending. Meaning he goes up and up and up. And I imagine it's almost like, you know, when you're holding a helium balloon and you let go of the strings and the balloon goes up and up and up. Imagine that. And so you and the disciples are sitting there looking up, wondering what's going on. And Jesus keeps going up and up and up. Until he gets to God. What a mystery that must have been. I can only imagine you and the other disciples looking at each other and wondering what just happened with a look of shock on your face. Then maybe you and your friends start remembering all the things that Jesus taught you. And just sit for a while, thinking about the work ahead of you. Thinking about how Jesus told us that when we love people, when we are kind to people, when we help people, that we are doing the work Jesus left us to do. Will you pray with me? Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for spending time with us. God, help us to remember the important work you have for us. And we all say, Amen.
So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that God has set by God's own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two figures in white robes stood by them. And they said, People of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. May the Spirit help us in our understanding of the morning lesson.
Waiting is a familiar experience for the people of God. There are nearly 100 references in our scriptures to waiting, and whole biblical stories focused on it. Abraham and Sarah waited for a child. David waited to be king. The Israelites waited in the desert for a land of their own. And the disciples were no different. The world they lived in was reaching a breaking point, and they awaited something new. Then along came Jesus, and all throughout their time together, the disciples asked when it would be time for him to act, when it would be time for him to restore the kingdom of God. And each time they asked, Jesus told them to wait. They asked him after the miracles. They asked him after the procession into Jerusalem. They asked him after he rose from the dead. Each time Jesus responds, Not yet, not now, wait. Now one last time the disciples plead, Is now the time you are going to act? Jesus again tells them, Wait. And then he rises and he's gone, and the disciples are left to wait for an unknown future. Today, Christians across the world are celebrating the Ascension, a celebration of Jesus' triumphal going up into heaven, ankles disappearing among the clouds. Early Christians seem to think this day was pretty important. It survived the cutting room floor and received a starring role in the ancient creeds of the church, where it was placed alongside Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. Early Christians called the Ascension the crown of Christian festivals. But unlike Christmas or Easter, we do not have many traditions built up around this day. No Christian flock does. There are no awkward Ascension Day pageants with an unlucky youth being hoisted up by rope and harness. We haven't decked our front doors with Ascension decor. There are no Ascension Day parties. And that's strange, because this story is just as imaginative and dramatic as the Virgin giving birth, or the stone rolling away from the tomb. Yet the Ascension of Jesus is different. It's somehow stranger, a bit unnerving. Maybe it's because we aren't too sure what we are supposed to celebrate on the Ascension. It falls after Easter, but before Pentecost. It's the end of one story and the beginning of another. It's an in-between Sunday. Perhaps we skip over the Ascension because it's exactly that, an in-between time. A time of waiting for what's to come. And the problem with being in between is that it's uncomfortable, unstable. We don't know what's next. We all know now what it's like to live in between times. Our lives right now are in a constant state of waiting. We wait for word on the future of our jobs. We wait for news about summer camps and schooling. We wait for action, for leadership from our government. We wait for a vaccine. We wait to sing again. We wait to see our loved ones. We wait with urgency for life to return to some state of normalcy. And waiting like this can be hard, a desperate place. Waiting with urgency can leave us breathless and hopeless. You see, waiting like this can so often give rise to anxiety and fear. Our hope starts to fade, worry and want swell, and we are left to focus ourselves, to fix our sight on the uncontrollable, the factors and moments that are out of our grasp. We stand staring at the sky with our minds spinning, idling, waiting for the unpredictable. And in our impatience, we can confuse action for wisdom. We can get our eyes fixed on what's above us or behind us, and we forget that God goes before us. And so those white-robed figures remind us, those angels draw our attention away from the sky, back down to earth, to each other, and to our life here and now. Not denying the pain and exhaustion of this in-between time, not erasing the weight, but shifting our gaze and fixing our sight on the present moment given to us. The Ascension teaches us expectant waiting, holy preparation, trust in God. You see, waiting is a Christian practice. To wait in this holy Christian way, to shift our gaze, is to wait with purpose, to sort out that which we can control and that which we cannot, to remind ourselves that God is God, and we are not. To wait in this holy Christian way is to tilt our heads away from our own wants and desires and fears, turning instead towards science, reason, and compassion. To wait in this holy Christian way is to fix our sight not on the heavens waiting for the sky to fall, but to fix our sight here. To stare at the inequalities this pandemic has exposed, and to start advocating for a different way forward. Our world has changed. It's still changing. We have no idea where we are going or what will become of us or of our life. You and I are in between, waiting between a world that was and a world to come. A church that was, and a church to come. Yet here's the good news. God went before us. God waits with us. God promises the gift of the Holy Spirit who works and wants and waits alongside us. Waiting is hard. It requires patience and trust. But one thing is certain, we do not wait alone. Happy Ascension. Amen.
Let us pray. You are free, Lord. Your ascension has set you free. Free from the constraints of human existence outside the limitations of time and space. Free to be here with us now, in our worship and fellowship. And free to be with us always. For in your freedom you have bound yourself to us with a promise. Lo, I am with you even to the very end of time. We pray, Lord, for those who need to feel you close, who need the assurance of your love, the encouragement of your spirit. We pray for people who are experiencing symptoms of COVID-19 and for the families and medical staff who surround them in care. We pray for those who are most vulnerable to this disease, whether from underlying health conditions or other contributing factors. We pray for those struggling with mental health issues, anxiety, depression, addiction. May they rest in your peace and protection. We pray for healthcare workers and people on the front lines of this disease, for workers who are in essential roles to keep our communities going. Keep them healthy. Keep them safe. We pray for those in our communities and around the world who have no safe place to shelter, who do not have enough food to eat or the medical care they need. May the new normal towards which we strive not leave them out in the cold. We pray for people who face hate and discrimination brought on by fear and anger. May these, your beloved children, feel your embrace. We pray for those whose actions are motivated by fear and anger. May they remember that you are a God of abundance and love. We pray for our leaders. May they be guided by your wisdom. May they be courageous and make the bold decisions that honor the blessedness of all life. We pray at this time of financial turmoil for those who've lost jobs, those who struggle to pay bills, and those who have the power to affect positive change. May we recognize anew the resources in our own hands and needs in our own communities. And we pray for all the advocates and the volunteers who are responding to your call to care for the people who are most vulnerable in our communities and around the world. Give them endurance. Stir them with your longing for justice. May they be comforted and moved by your Holy Spirit. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you believe that love is stronger than hate, if you believe in healing, if you ache for grace and hunger for justice and thirst for mercy and pant for peace, then give us your money. If you cherish this sanctuary in the city and cheer on our partnership with Snowden High School, if you believe in the Alston Brighton Food Pantry feeding 600 families every month, if our remote ministry is feeding your spirit, if our work as a teaching church makes you smile, if this church's ministry of caregiving ministers to you, then give us your money. If you believe God's good news is better and stronger than all the world's bad news, then give us your money. Because we do those things with money. We heal and help, feed and clothe, forgive and bind up. With your money, we can change the world. The morning's offering will be given and received. The donate button is right about there.
Thank you.
Let us pray. With this money, O God, we pledge to beat swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. We pledge to melt frozen hearts and combat terror with tenderness and illness with healing. And we pledge to get started here now among ourselves. And let the whole church say, Amen.
Okay, people of God, let's not just stand here, gazing into heaven. Instead, let us wait with perseverance, taking control of that which is ours, and entrusting to God that which is God's, and doing so with the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.